Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. As Stephen A. just mentioned, JJ and CJ will be here in a hot second. But first, my guy Swag Goo and SA, good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
How's the travels going? How's the finals going?
It's nightmarish. I'm a little tired. But okay. The bottom line is I needed to be here, so I'm here.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Let's go.
All right.
Can we get to order of business first? Can we get to order of business, Molly Q?
Yes,
because I heard you mention... the name, and I was excited when this got announced that CJ McCollum would be coming to ESPN. And I just want to let y'all know I'm a big fan of CJ McCollum. The New Orleans Pelicans are my team because y'all know I'm Louisiana boot life, okay? But I wanted CJ to know that he got a big supporter out here, and I'm looking forward to them Pelicans making some noise as we did in the playoffs this year.
Time out.
We'll get to that later. Let me throw a little shade on that. CJ McCollum been a big-time NBA player for quite a while.
Yeah.
I never heard Swaggle say his name once until he arrived in New Orleans.
Oh.
I just want to
say. Molly Q, hold on.
That's a lie.
CJ.
It's not a lie.
Is CJ around?
He's right here.
I'm right here.
Okay, because I've actually sent CJ messages letting him know I was a fan of him. I don't know
I kept the receipts.
Okay. All right. Just want to get that cleared up before we get to work.
First day back in New York, already causing trouble. All right, let's go, guys.
It was a good day
for Rams All-Pro Aaron Donald. How about this? Becoming the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL, that according to our Adam Schefter, the reworked deal brings the total value of the defensive tackle's contract to $95 million over 3 years. $65 million is guaranteed in the first 2 years, making Donald the first non-quarterback. I know you love this, Marcus, to eclipse $30 million per season. The deal structured to allow Donald, who's 31, to either retire or return for the 2024 season for an additional $30 million guaranteed, sources telling Schefter as well. I'm going to start with you here, Swaggo. Who's more important to the Rams repeating as Super Bowl champs? Is it the quarterback on defense and Aaron Donald or the real quarterback, Matthew Stafford?
Molly, you know I wouldn't come on here and I'm going to use one of my big bro words and spit any blasphemy. This is about Aaron Donald, and I'm not going to let Stephen A. Smith steal what I'm about to say because I'm excited that a defensive lineman finally got paid some quarterback money because he earned it. Listen, we can go on the field and literally look at Aaron Donald close two games out when the opposite team had the ball in their hands. We can go to the Super Bowl when Jalen Ramsey fell down and Jamar Chase would have been wide open and the Los Angeles Rams wouldn't have won the Super Bowl most likely if Aaron Donald hadn't sacked Joe Burrow on that play. Me and Stephen A. sat here last year and we battled every game that Aaron Donald had in the playoffs, every game that we talked about. Who's the most important? Is it Tom Brady? Is it Aaron Donald? I said, S.A., this is a different animal. It's Aaron Donald. All right, you can't say that about guys in today's NFL because we're so quarterback driven. But damn it, I am. And when you look at the plays that he makes, the timely plays that he makes, the things that he does in spite of having the hardest route to have success because more NFL players are trying to stop him from doing his job than anybody else in the league when it comes to his particular position and where he's aligned from a defensive standpoint. And then this the other thing. I'm not going to get far in the weeds because I want to debate Stephen A. on general things. I don't want to go into X's and O's and talk about the importance and the brilliance of Aaron Donald when it comes to helping facilitate for his other teammates. The fact that the entire defense would have to change for the Los Angeles Rams if he wasn't a part of that unit, and they would not clearly be Super Bowl champions if it had not been for Aaron Donald and his playmaking in critical times in the football game. Go ahead. Cliche guy, quarterback guy.
Well, first of all, I'm far from a cliche guy. I think we know this. Number one.
Well,
number two,
you're not. I'm actually.
I have to admit. I must say, I'm actually bored with this topic. I understand that we have to address
it. You're bored?
I'm very bored. I mean, this means nothing to me. Aaron Donald is one of the greatest players to have ever played the game.
And now I have a chance to repeat, Stephen A.
Allow me to finish.
Okay.
Aaron Donald is one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
Yes.
He's in the same ilk, the conversations, the Lawrence Taylors of the world, the Mike Singletary. I mean, you know, some of the great, you know, Ronnie Lotts of the world, the people like that. One of the greatest defensive players we've ever seen. Clearly worthy of being the highest paid defensive player in the game. There is no question about that, okay? So we're not debating that. We're not debating the greatness. We're not debating the fact that he closed the deal against Joe Burrow and those boys and helped deliver a Super Bowl. But I would remind you that Aaron Donald has been in this league for 8 years. The first 3 years, they didn't make the playoffs. The last 4 years, they have. Two of those times, they were in the Super Bowl. They won their first Super Bowl last year. Because of the way the NFL game is structured, we understand if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. It's just that simple. We've seen Chicago, for example, not the Khalil Mack now who may have lost a step, but I still think it's big time. We've seen Chicago's defense be elite. We've seen other defenses be elite. But when you don't have a quarterback, what happens to you? It's really that simple. So this is not about Aaron Donald versus a Matthew Stafford or anything like that. This is about bringing Swagoo back to a reality he doesn't want to face. He is prejudiced in favor of big dudes. Big man balling and all of this other stuff. That's what he cares about. If you're small, if you're slim, if you play a quarterback position, whatever, Swagoo ain't got no problem for you. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen, he is unapologetically biased in favor of those 100%. Guys. He believes they're completely unappreciated and that they deserve the recognition, and Aaron Donald is getting it, so he's big up in Aaron Donald. The problem with Swagoo's argument is that who doesn't big up Aaron Donald? We all know about the greatness of Aaron Donald. We've all praised the greatness for many, many years. There's nothing to debate here, but in the end, the way the NFL game is structured, the quarterback position is significantly more important than a defensive lineman, particularly an interior defensive lineman.
I just need to say one thing, Marcus, before you get in here. Do you want to tell me that I'm right? Because I sat up here with you and Mad Dog, and you thought he wanted to retire, and I told you it was a negotiating tactic. Remember that situation? You thought he was retiring, and I said to you, no, he's just playing the game.
No, I did not say that.
He's trying to get more money.
No, to quote me accurately, what I said is, if you're going to be on the record saying that you're contemplating retirement, I want to make sure you're completely interested in playing the game. I would much rather you want your money and be willing to say that you'll leave to go elsewhere than saying, I'm good, I'm ready to walk away from the game unless I get what I want.
Negotiating that's tactic. Go ahead, Swagoo. He can't admit it.
There's nothing to admit.
So,
but that's all I have to say. All I have to say. I'm not really interested in the subject.
I understand it. I understand it. My word, cliche was not being lended to you personally, but this is the argument that everybody makes. But all they got to do is watch the damn game. I'm not saying Matthew Stafford wasn't a difference maker. We all know that Matthew Stafford coming to the Los Angeles Rams, we all felt like he made them a Super Bowl contender. No, let me rephrase. Not all of us. Some people thought Matthew Stafford wasn't good and it had nothing to do with Detroit, but he proved that to be wrong. But I'm going to sit here and answer this question, this particular question pertaining to this particular team, okay? If Aaron Donald would not have been playing for the Los Angeles Rams last year, they would not have won a Super Bowl
with Matthew Stafford
as their quarterback.
Time out. If Jared Goff was quarterback in the Rams with Aaron Donald on the team, they still wouldn't have won the damn Super Bowl.
And Aaron Donald, on the year that Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl, he wasn't even the guy that was focused in that offense. Listen, was Todd Gurley, who won league MVP,
Did they win the Super Bowl? Did they win the Super Bowl? They lost Super Bowl because they scored 3 points against the New England Patriots.
They didn't win the Super Bowl
until a quarterback arrived. That's all I'm saying. We can move on.
Did you watch the playoffs?
You know I did. You know I watch every minute of the game.
Okay, so through our texting, Who would you attribute the main reason to winning the Super Bowl to?
I would attribute that to Aaron Donald, yes.
Okay, case closed.
So Stephen A.
All right, Marcus, you'll be back. Exactly. Yeah, you won it. It's all good.
But they still would have lost if Jared Goff was quarterback in the team, because I don't think Jared Goff would have get registered 10 points.
Stephen A., they would have lost with Matthew Stafford if Aaron Donald wouldn't have closed the games out.
Okay, man.
They would have lost the Super Bowl.
I'll give it to Big Man Baller, because I got my mind on other things. I'll give it to Big Man Baller, because we know that's what he wants to do.
Let's get to another team in California that's trying to run it back as well. Swaggoo, you'll be back.
I'm going to sit here and watch CJ.
Full splash has not been in effect. Klay Thompson hasn't been himself so far in the finals. He's averaging 13 points in two games, shooting 10 of 33 from the field, 4 of 15 from deep, including an abysmal 1 of 8 behind the arc shooting. Here's Jeff Van Gundy on Klay.
I can't envision in my mind how they could win this series, let alone another game, if he can't find a level of, doesn't have to be great, but super impactful and good to really good. They got to get more from Thompson.
All right. Here's the crew. How's everybody feeling this
What's
morning?
What's going on?
Great.
All right. I'm going to start with you, JJ.
Oh.
How concerning is Klay's play if they're trying to win the chip this year?
It's concerning in the sense that they need Klay Thompson to have a couple big games for them to win this series. However, I'm not particularly concerned. We just saw him in a closeout game against the Mavs go for 32 with 8 threes. I think it's important to note that this early struggle that he's had against the Boston Celtics has been a trend throughout the playoffs. In games 1 and 2 of every series throughout the playoffs, he's averaging 15 a game on 39 and 30 shooting splits. After that, he's up to 22 a game on 48 and 44 shooting splits. So his game gets better as the series progresses. Now, in relation to the Boston Celtics.
Wait, 1 second. Are you talking about just this year or you're talking about always?
I'm talking about this year.
Okay.
This postseason.
Okay.
Yeah, this postseason.
Okay.
Lower body leg injuries. I think when we talk about this specifically with the Boston Celtics, what they have done a great job of, they have contested his shots really well. They've made it tough on him. They've been in his airspace. I think he was 1 for 13 in game 2 on contested shots. He's got to find a way, CJ, to get more uncontested shots. And we talked about this earlier today on Get Up. I think the way to do that is you got to find him in transition. Mm-hmm. You got to push the pace. The Warriors are so good at finding Klay Thompson and Steph Curry in transition for those transition threes. And in game 2, he missed a couple bunnies at the rim. As a shooter, you want to see those shots go in. Any little thing, free throws, layups. An uncontested three in transition, that's ultimately what's going to get you going so then that you can make the contested shots. But overall, I mean, I'm not concerned about Klay. I do expect him to have a couple big games, and they need him to have a couple big games if they're going to win the series.
Well, I'm concerned about him. I'm concerned about him a lot because this is one of the greatest shooters we've ever seen in the history of the game. And over the first two games of this series, he's averaging 13 points on 30% shooting from the field and 26% from three-point range. That's not Klay Thompson. That's just not Klay Thompson. That's not the Klay Thompson we know. Now, you're absolutely right. As a series wanes, he's shown that he can get it on and he'll explode in the game 5 or game 6. His record speaks for itself. And I believe he's one of the top 5 shooters in the history of basketball. When you look at his numbers and when you look at what he brings to the table, he's a marksman. There's no question about it. But we know that he's not 100%. We know that he's not fully back yet after those two nasty leg injuries that he suffered that kept him out over the last 2 years. And so when you take that into account and you think about how Boston is strategizing against him, they're up in his face. They're contesting everything. They're relatively bigger dudes. Not Marcus Smart, but a Derek White has good size in them. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown obviously have good size in them or what have you. It's not as easy for Klay Thompson to get open shots. And if you're making him work for everything that he gets, okay, you guys know this better than me. Legs play an important role in your ability to shoot the basketball. The fresher your legs are, that definitely helps, okay? It's not just about you and your wrist. It's not just about you and your stroke. It's also about the legs that you've got under you as well. And if you're making a guy work overtime, to get anything, that's taken away some of that from Klay Thompson. And I think as a result, we're seeing what we're seeing. Now, do I believe this will continue? No. But I will say I concur with Jeff Van Gundy when he says Klay Thompson has to play better in order for them to win this series because I don't believe that you beat this Boston Celtics team and Klay Thompson doesn't show up at all. I don't believe that.
Not concerned at all. The series is still 1-1. We talked about this
outside of how they performed in the fourth quarter of game one, the series should be 2-0, to be honest with you. And looking at what you said previously, because I love to bring up old things.
Sure.
You said that the Warriors only needed two out of the three to play well in order to win. So the fact that Klay Thompson hasn't shot well, 30%, I'm willing to bet it's not going to happen again. He's not going to go 4-for-19 tomorrow in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time before he plays well and shoots well. They just need Jordan Poole to play better, to be more aggressive, more assertive, similar to how he was in the third quarter. And they can still win this series with two of the three playing well. Obviously, assuming Steph scores 25-30, they can still win. But the concern here is more so about, like you talked about, the legs, the foundation, the dips. He's missing open shots, not just contested. Credit Jaylen Brown for defending well, running him off the line. Marcus Smart's a great defender. They're pressuring him. They're switching a lot. But how often have we seen the Warriors set a screen and slip and get a dunk? Historically, that's their offense. They play at a split post. They play through Draymond Green. I think they should get back to that more often. Obviously, in the third quarter, they'll go high pick and rolls with Steph, clear things out, allow for him to space. And that will also affect Klay's touches. But if they run more of their continuity offense, more of their split movement, that's what's going to give Boston more trouble. So I expect Klay to play well in a hurry.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you holding that against me because you're absolutely right. That is what I said. You need two of the three guys. I don't have as much faith in Jordan Poole as if yes. Not to say that he's not going to do some good things because I expect him to, but I think he likes to dribble a little bit too much. I think against Boston, that's an impediment to his success. Even though he's shown that he can get off a little bit, I think there's times that he could potentially cost them. When we talk about reliability, we're talking about guys that are tried and proven in Steph and Klay, right? So let's get back to Klay here because, see, here's the thing that really it throws me off about you guys when you talk about not being concerned. If this is the regular season, no. Klay, getting it, we got time. This is the finals. You ain't got so much time. You got five games left. It's the best 3 of 5 from this point forward. You got 1-1. It's the first team that gets the next three wins the championship. You don't have all day. You don't have all year. And so when I see what Boston is doing to him now, the question is, do you think they can continue to do it? I would remind you, JJ, you did pick the Boston Celtics to win this series. Okay. There is a reason for that. And so when I'm looking at Klay, I'm thinking about, all right, I got Golden State winning this game, this series in 7 games. I'm believing, he might need to step up and be better than what he is, like Jeff Van Gundy said, in order for them to make you wrong and make your prediction of the Celtics winning this series wrong. Why is that beyond the realm of comprehension? That we're looking at an NBA Finals. We're looking at a guy that's been gone for 2 years. He's been working his way back. We all know he's not fully back yet, meaning 100% healthy, okay? He's still working his way through. And you're going up against the elite defense in basketball right now in the Boston Celtics. Why is that beyond the realm of comprehension that Klay Thompson can continue to struggle as this series wanes? It is possible. I don't think it'll happen, but it is possible.
Very few things are beyond the realm of comprehension, Stephen A. I mean, we live in 2022. Okay. Like, very few things. Okay. I can understand your argument. On the timing issue, though, you do realize every series prior to this has also been 7 games.
Yes.
He's also had to have a sense of urgency. So I'm asking you, though, like, would you take 22 and on 48-44 shooting splits the rest of the series? Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty much Klay Thompson pre-leg injury, right? Okay. And the idea that he's not 100%, yeah, he's not a version of himself, but he's 100% in who he is right now. And that 100% was pretty darn good in Game 5 against the Mavs. It was pretty darn good in prior series.
You know that.
Hold on a second. The misconception. I want to bring something. Okay. The misconception on this idea of legs and making people work. Like, I had to deal with this, and CJ knows, from me guarding him and from him guarding me. When you are a shooter, when you are a scorer like Klay Thompson, you're always on the move. You're always using your legs. You're always conditioning. I did a detail episode of Game 5 in that Mavs series. It wasn't like Klay Thompson was standing in one place shooting threes.
I'm not implying.
He's always moving to spots. He's always coming off picks.
I'm just talking about fatigue. I'm using that. I'm saying fatigue. I know he's moving.
He just had a week off. I'm not buying the fatigue factor. Okay. I think I buy more into the Boston Celtics doing a good job of being physical. And again, going back to that detail episode, what I saw over and over again, starting off the ball, the Mavs defenders, they're 5 feet off and then chasing through screens. What are the Celtics doing? They're up to touch every single time with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They're being physical before the screen ever comes. That's taking away a lot of that momentum to get that little bit of separation. CJ, am I right? You just need a little bit of separation coming off those picks. And if the defender's already into you, it's harder to get that separation. To CJ's point, I completely agree with this. But on your point about the post-splits, the Celtics cannot guard Steph Curry in pick and rolls. So why, if you're the Warriors and you're scoring 1.7 points per possession on Steph Curry pick and rolls against drop coverage, why would you go to your post splits in the half court when you could have the greatest offense of all time by just running those high pick and rolls? So I do think, yeah, we're going to need Klay. We're going to need Jordan Poole. Steph has been so good in this series. That's the concern. And at some point, they're probably going to have to double him. At some point, it's going to be 4-on-3 action on that backside.
And you're saying that once they double him, that's going
to
free up
Klay. Oh, Klay's going to be wide. Yeah, he's going to be wide open. He won't have to work as hard. He won't have to fight through screens and do all that stuff. And the last
point, but you did point out that he missed open shots, too.
He missed some shots. Coming off picks.
I understand that.
On fades.
I understand
that.
I understand there's tough shots, but we're talking about Klay Thompson. We're not talking about somebody that's foreign to these situations. And so the point is that when we see him missing more than we're accustomed to seeing him miss, that is a cause for alarm. You don't have Jeff Van Gundy saying that. You don't have Magic Johnson pointing out how guys got their hands on their hips and they look absolutely exhausted. It's not an accident that people are picking up on this stuff. And if you're Boston, that's your intent, because you know that's going to elevate your chances of ultimately pulling out this series. To be physical, to get up in their face, to contest. It's what they do. It's why they eat.
I watched the halftime show of game one, and I just want to make a point here. How many times in a game on a dead ball, do grab your shorts, CJ?
You just
25. It doesn't mean you're tired.
God.
And by the way, the old heads say this all the time. Like my AU coach growing up, don't put your hands on your shorts and lean over. You can't breathe as well.
We know better than that.
You can breathe fine.
But that doesn't mean that in that particular instance they were incorrect. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't mean that.
I'm not saying they are incorrect or correct. I'm saying I'm not buying any of that.
Cool.
I
think we're just used to Klay making shots, so we're trying to find an excuse for him. Sometimes you just miss. Mm-hmm. JJ talked about this being a trend. He has struggled to start series in games one and games two. The switch comes on in game three. He puts more of a sense of urgency on the performance down the stretch in big games when they need it. This is a big game that they need, so I would expect him to play well. And I would really expect him to play well in game six, because I think it's going to be 2-2 going into game five, and then it's going to be 3-2, and I think this goes seven. But ultimately, we talked about it. You don't really believe in Jordan Poole yet, right? You think he needs more time.
I wouldn't say I don't believe
you
in him.
You said you don't believe in him consistently performing well enough for them to win.
I've got receipts on Stephen A. for the last 3 months hyping up Jordan Poole.
I said lethal weapon three.
Yes,
lethal weapon
and talking
three.
About how
said
great
it was
he
a pool party.
So now all of a sudden, two games into a series,
now you're saying
somebody else.
All of a sudden, you don't believe in him.
Now you don't believe in him.
Matter of fact, I said I wouldn't go to the pool party. That's what I said.
CJ.
But you are right. I
prisoner
said lethal weapon.
You're talking about
I just say lethal weapon. I'm not running away from it. I said lethal weapon three.
You called the Warriors in seven. And now, because Klay Thompson is struggling a little bit, you're backpedaling.
How am I backpedaling? Did I say Boston's not winning, that the Warriors are not winning this series? Did you hear those words come out of my mouth?
You said, I'm concerned because
I'll admit, I was concerned coming into the series, but I still picked the Warriors in seven.
But if you think that Klay's going to continue to struggle and you're not all the way invested into this pool party, how are they going to win?
I am not.
How do they win?
Because I said that I believe, even though I'm concerned, I'm still going to keep my faith in Klay Thompson.
KD's not walking through that door.
Oh, I know that.
He ain't walking through that door.
I know that. He probably wish he was. You know what I'm saying? He'd be in the finals. Well, you say that. I know. Listen, they got swept. That's not the people to bring up right now. They got swept. Okay, but the point that I am making is I'm not jumping off the Warriors bandwagon. I'm just saying I am concerned. I respect the hell out of the Boston Celtics. And to me, you got to bring your A game to beat them. That's how I feel.
You do. No, I concur. I think that was a respectable debate in which I still say the Boston Celtics are going to win this series.
Well, you go ahead and say that. And you go ahead and say that, too. Y'all go ahead and say it, but don't accuse me of backpedaling. I did say the Warriors are winning the seventh, and I have not jumped off that.
Well, you better hope Klay Thompson plays better, because you said don't think Poole can carry the load.
I don't think Poole can carry the load
against the Denver Nuggets.
I don't think he – that's right. And then against Memphis, not so much. And then obviously in the Western Conference Finals, not so much. I'm just saying
right,
that he shows up. But consistently, I worry about that. But Poole has got a bright future. I like Poole.
He's got a rich future.
I just don't know. Very rich future, and he deserves it. I'm just saying that, you know, Klay Thompson's a different animal. I expect more.
Okay. And I said pool party, and that's not corny. Lethal Weapon 3 was corny. That never stopped. No one ever liked that
corny. Lethal Weapon 3 is not corny at all.
All right, let's go to Southern California. You're the only person that ever liked it to get picked up. Darvin Ham was introduced as the Los Angeles Lakers' new coach on Monday, with point guard Russell Westbrook standing off to the side in the public to show support for the hiring. Ham reciprocated that support right back to Westbrook after a tumultuous first season in Los Angeles for the former league MVP. Here's the new head man at the mic.
Don't get it messed up. Russ is one of the best players our league has ever seen, and there's still a ton left in that tank. I don't know why people tend to try to write him off.
We only had a little snippet of it. There was way better stuff in that press conference, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it in its entirety, but it was good. It was really good. I'll start with you here, CJ. Do you think Darvin Ham can make it work with LeBron, AD, and Russ? Because some people have questions about how this roster is structured.
I think he can make it work because of the respect level that they're going to have for him, first of all, and being an ex-player. I think all those things matter. And he talked about being shot in the face growing up. He's not afraid.
That's the sound I was
hoping. He's not afraid of the fans. He's not afraid of what comes from an expectation standpoint. He's not going to be afraid to challenge Bron, to challenge Russ, to challenge AD. And I think when you have that mutual respect for one another, you're willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice was a buzzword that he used throughout that press conference. He talked about Russ's defense. He didn't mention offense because he knows that offensively they're talented. They just have to work on spacing issues. They have to get shooting around them. And they all have to be willing to do the little things. But none of this is going to matter if they aren't healthy. I talked about this a ton. A healthy team gives you a chance to win a championship. A healthy team gives you a chance to gain that consistency, that trust, that chemistry, that camaraderie. And they weren't healthy last year. And that's been the difference, in my humble opinion.
I want to give Darvin Ham all the chance in the world. I'm happy he got this job. I'm supportive of it. My trepidation came from the fact that he's a first-year coach and the stuff that we were hearing about how the Lakers organization interfered with the coaching. Now, to their defense, they categorically denied this. They didn't tell Frank Vogel you had to play a player and you couldn't play this player and you had to sit him down and you had to give him this amount of minutes. They didn't do all of that. That's what they say. Others say otherwise. With all of that being said, Darvin Ham is a former player. He's a rough rider. You ain't going to push him around. You ain't going to intimidate him as a player. He's not scared to get in anybody's face and tell them what they need to hear in order for the betterment of the team and ultimately the positive outcomes that you're looking for. To answer the question directly, I believe if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, the Lakers could go to the playoffs with those two guys. My reservations are extremely deep about Russell Westbrook in this system. I think that Russell Westbrook is the kind of dude you got to give the ball to and let him do whatever it is that he does that has made him a perennial all-star and a future Hall of Famer. To work within the concept of a team run by LeBron James is extremely more difficult. And so him being at that press conference yesterday, actually to me, I didn't like it. And the reason I didn't like it is because, you know, yes, you're still a member of the Lakers, but we all know everybody's been talking about what the Lakers need to do when it comes to Russell Westbrook. He's entering the last year of his deal. He's getting $47 million. Will somebody take him? Well, okay, you're going to keep him. How are you going to fix what happened last year? This is the issue. I don't like when people – I'm being careful about what I say, guys, just so you know, because Russell Westbrook is the kind of guy – that when you say something, he thinks it's a character issue. Like, you're getting at him. And I have to explain this on several occasions. Ain't talking about Russell Westbrook, the man. I think he's a good brother. He's got his heart in the right place. There's nothing about his character to smear. He can't shoot the ball well. He's not the greatest point guard as it pertains to decision-making. He turns the ball over. And now he's been struggling to reach 68% from the free throw line. So when you take all of those things into consideration and you see what you've seen from the Los Angeles Lakers last year, I think as long as LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, you can overcome it enough to be a playoff team. But that's about the height of my expectations for the Los Angeles Lakers.
So you said a random take, and then you explained a bunch of things about Russell Westbrook that had nothing to do with that take. And so I want clarification on this.
Sure.
What is your issue with Russell Westbrook being at that news conference?
That's a wild thing. That's a wild thing for you to say. Him supporting his team, his organization, his coach, a fellow African American man that gets hired by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Don't go there.
That's not what you're saying. This is what you said.
But no. But see,
you said that
you're crossing the line when you bring up another African American man. That's not where I'm going with that.
You said that.
I'm talking about the Lakers organization discussing trading him.
What does that got to do with him?
Well, what I'm saying, what are you talking about with that guy?
You said him going to the press conference, you're disappointed.
I'm saying.
Run the tape. We got the tape. That's what you said.
Stephen,
the Lakers organization has been talking about moving Russell Westbrook. They're talking about trading him. My point is that this guy, there are question marks as to whether or not he's going to be a part of the team. That's all I meant
by
saying.
Right now, he's on the team.
I understand
that. And that's his new coach.
Okay.
For the time being.
Do you want to take back that statement?
No.
I feel you don't want to take it back.
No, because I didn't mean it the way CJ's trying to interpret it.
Even if you didn't mean it the way I said it, you said that he shouldn't have been at the press conference, which is foul.
I said I did not lie.
He should have been at the press conference.
First of all, it's not foul.
I'm saying for him to not show up, but he's in the city.
I'm not faulting him for being there. I'm saying the Los Angeles Lakers are trying to move this dude because last year was so uncharacteristically awful. You've got people that think he's done. I don't believe that. I believe Russell Westbrook's got a lot left in them. But clearly the Lakers have some trepidation about it. Talk to the teams around the league and they'll tell you the trepidation that exists around Russell Westbrook. So if you're talking about moving this guy, remember he was supportive of Frank Vogel as well. Then he's sitting there at the end of the season saying, I don't know what the hell happened. You know, I was good. I was good to this guy. I was supportive of this guy, et cetera, et cetera. Giving off the impression that there was expectations that came with it in terms of it being reciprocated. So now I don't want to hear that when it comes to the new coach, Darvin Ham, because Darvin Ham is coming in there to coach the team to the best of his ability. What level of expectations do you have then? What level of reciprocation are you having then because you support the new guy coming on board? I'm talking about it from the standpoint of a Lakers organization that has taken a position that they've taken, albeit privately. And I'm saying, excuse me, when I see him at the press conference, it gives the impression, okay, are you keeping him here? Is this guy a part of the team for this upcoming season? Are you no longer talking about moving Russell Westbrook? I'm thinking about it along those lines. That's all.
About it from the Russell Westbrook standpoint, because essentially what you're saying, because Russell Westbrook was essentially being a professional by showing up to the press conference.
I was talking about supporting the Los Angeles Lakers and the supposed relationship.
That makes this better because the way it came off to us. And
I just wanted clarification.
It was like you didn't think he should be there, and I'm like, you have to show up for your coach in the city.
So to answer this question real quick, and we've kind of talked about this a ton of times, and I'm not going to use your favorite catchphrase. I promise you. I won't say the word top heavy. Oh, God, I said it.
The top heavy roster.
No, there's really three things here when I think about this team. Number one is we've seen throughout these playoffs the value of big two-way wings.
Okay.
And the Lakers traded those guys to get Westbrook. They elected not to sign Caruso. So they are lacking in that department. And asking next year a 38-year-old LeBron James to be that two-way wing throughout the playoffs, I just don't think that's realistic. They don't have the roster pieces currently that fills that void, which a lot of these teams, they all have big two-way wings. Secondly, and CJ and I have talked about this earlier today as well, secondly is the shooting. And they just don't have enough shooting. If you're going to play LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook together, that is going to be a clogged paint. Anthony Davis was not an efficient jump shooter last year. Russell Westbrook has never been an efficient jump shooter. And obviously LeBron James has increased his efficiency to great levels. So the third piece in all of that is, how does Westbrook fit in all of this? And I think the one way you can make this work is obviously by building the roster around those two pieces, big two-way wings that can shoot, and obviously more shooting, maybe involve a stretch five. But Anthony Davis has got to play five. And he has historically pushed back on the notion that he can play five. LeBron James had some success last year in certain lineups with shooting, being a screener, which is a role we saw a little bit in Miami and a little bit in Cleveland, but there were stretches last year in the regular season where he played that role as a screening, rolling five, and then making plays out of that. So you're going to have to ask people to maybe do things that they haven't done before. I don't know that you're going to be able to ask Russell Westbrook to do things that he hasn't done that's going to make him successful. He has to play a certain way. That's just reality. And I think it's the other guys they're going to maybe have to adjust their games a bit if the goal is to maximize Russell Westbrook.
Go ahead.
I think it's about sacrifice. I said it before. Someone has to sacrifice. That's the only way your team can be successful when you like to play in the same spaces. By same spaces, I mean AD likes to post up at 15 feet. He's a pick-and-pop guy, great mid-range shooter, back to the basket around that 12 to 15 feet where he can spin and get lobs. Russ likes to back guys down, play isolation, attack and transition, pick and roll. High-usage guy who likes the ball in his hands. I haven't even talked about Bron, who's, you know, top five greatest players of all time.
High usage.
Loves to have the ball in his hands. High usage. He has to step back to freedom now. He'll shoot threes, but he still loves to have the ball. So I think the biggest thing is someone has to sacrifice. Someone has to work on catching and shooting the basketball, right? Because you have to play off the ball because it's only one ball, and it's five of y'all, and three of y'all average 20 a game. So I think the sacrifice has to come, but I think that's up to Coach Ham to kind of figure things out.
But I don't think the sacrifice really is necessary with the case of Anthony Davis. He just has to be healthy. Because Anthony Davis, if you're the LeBron James, you're going to want to get him to basketball. LeBron James has no aversion to that. The issue is LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. Because LeBron James is 37, 19th in the league, be 38 next season. You got Russell Westbrook. He turns 34 in November. Both of them have been in the league for more than a decade, obviously. How easy is it going to be to get what you just pointed to get one of these guys, if not both of them, to make the necessary sacrifice? I mean, we can say it. We all know it. The question is how plausible it is. How likely is it that that kind of sacrifice is going to happen? I'm asking you. I'm looking at you right now.
I guess time will tell. Him showing up to the press conference showed me that he's buying in. I think Ham is going to be willing to challenge him offensively and defensively. And I think back to Russ in Houston.
See what you just did?
I think back to Russ in Houston.
Uh-huh.
He played off the ball in Houston. James was very dominant, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And he wanted out.
Yeah, but he averaged 27.
Fantastic.
I'm not saying he needs to be that Russ. I'm saying he can play off the ball. He just has to be aggressive on his catches, and he needs to play with the second unit.
Can he play off the ball?
That's a rotation.
How can he play off the ball?
Catch and drive.
Oh, catch and drive.
Go.
I thought you was going to say catch and shoot because we're going to stop the show right there because we know he can't say that.
CJ,
okay?
Would you not agree with me that the fit of that team, the other three guys, it was a five-out offense. P.J. Tucker, they traded Clint Capella. P.J. Tucker ended up playing five for that team. That's when he took off. You'd look at his stats up until mid-December of that. We played against them early in the season when they still had Capella. We were just packing the paint.
Right.
I mean, that's all I started the game on Westbrook, and I just stood in the paint the whole game. So it wasn't until they traded Capella, they went five out, and they had three other shooters besides Westbrook
and
Harden.
That, but what I'm going to get on you about, how come you didn't get on him about, first of all, I bring up Russell Westbrook at the press conference. You get on me about that. He just brought up Russell Westbrook at the press conference. You didn't pick that up. He just brought it up in a positive light. What did he say? He said, you're there. You obviously support the coach. What I'm pointing to is that the same thing he did with Frank Vogel. And so what happens is that you support Frank Vogel. You think Frank Vogel's going to support you. And then suddenly midway during the season, I don't know what the hell they want. They asked me to do one thing. The next thing you know, they want me to do something else. And we're talking about how they're not on the same page.
Yeah, that's why they were the 11th seed.
We're talking about why they're not on the same page.
What does this have to do with this new team? This new situation? They're doing four out, one in now. JJ talking about spacing.
Every situation, I understand that every situation is different. I respect that. But what I'm trying to say is that past habits give indications about future actions sometimes. And if you have an expectation because you've cultivated a relationship with somebody and then the season starts and they're asking you to do something you don't want to do, it could cause the kind of problems we watched last year. You talk about keeping receipts. Is that a receipt?
To be continued.
I don't think that was a worthy
answer.
Were you guys impressed with the press conference? I mean, I know it's just a press conference, but that would be a guy I would want to run there.
I love that press conference. I like the way he handled himself, and that's why I think this is going to be different because of the respect level that they're going to have for him, understanding the appreciation. But I think he's going to challenge them in a unique way. Yeah. He talked about it. He didn't even talk about offense. He said, I want to see Russell Westbrook play defense the way he's played historically.
Gave up 115 points a game last year, 28th.
All right, let's go. Another civil lawsuit has been filed against Deshaun Watson by a massage therapist accusing him of sexual misconduct. It's the second lawsuit filed against the current Browns and former Texans quarterback within the last week, and the 24th overall. Among the excerpts made on this latest complaint is that defendant Deshaun Watson has a disturbing pattern of conduct, the complaint contends. Each of the cases against him is strikingly similar, evidencing a habit or a custom. Watson seeks out random strangers on Instagram, as he has done more than 100 times. The lawsuit follows comments by Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, who said the following Friday on a Houston radio station.
I don't know how many men are out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending, all right? I do want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hardin later said he was speaking hypothetically and that Watson did not pay anyone for sex. As of last month, the NFL was still investigating these allegations against Watson. The quarterback has so far avoided criminal charges, and we remember, Stephen A., that the Browns gave him the highest amount of guaranteed money ever. What should the NFL do after this latest allegation? We've had two this week. We're now at 24.
Something simple and plain. Make a damn decision. That's what the NFL should do. Now, you have a situation that's going on right now. Let's make sure we understand this. The belief is, as Mad Dog Russo pointed out last week, where's there smoke, there's fire. The strong belief is that damage did something. You've been accused by 24 different women. are the same damn thing. I mean, if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it ain't a mongoose. That's what I've said on numerous occasions. Now you're hearing that, you know what, they're accusing him that he's done this 100 times. So he has a proclivity. Over 100 times. He has a proclivity to go to masseuse and to get a massage with other things, okay? And on his side, they're lying. There's no truth to this whatsoever. Read the reports and you'll see the details about how ridiculous this is. That's what his side says. We don't know. We know that they're accusing him. We know that he's denying it. Here's what we do know. We do know that if you're the National Football League, you haven't needed criminal charges to make a decision before. You haven't even needed civil charges to make a decision before. The mere fact that this stuff is in the news is enough for the National Football League to make a decision as to whether or not they want Deshaun Watson playing this year. Remember, they once trained, they once suspended Ray Rice for 2 games. Then they came back once the video came out and said, "The hell with that.
Yeah.
You out."
Maybe they need the video of what happened with some of these women, and then they would actually act.
Man, I feel you, but I think this is the important point to make, Molly. And somebody's got to say it, so I'm going to say it again. We shouldn't need the video, number one, because many, many women have said that, and you're right. The flip side to it, however, is this. Again, you're the National Football League. You can always make a decision and then come back and modify whatever decision
it's
you make.
Conduct it's detrimental to the league.
You should not be standing still and continuing to. I can't emphasize this enough. It's not just about embarrassment. Molly, it is very dangerous for a professional sports league to act as if they're law enforcement, to act as if they're the judicial system. It's very dangerous because now whatever decision you make, you're implying you know stuff we don't know. And that's not to say that that's false, because obviously you have people investigating the matter and you may know stuff that we don't know. But the point is that people will want to know what you know. And that's not the job of the National Football League. The job of the National Football League is to say this. This is our league.
Yeah.
You impugn the integrity and the shield. We have a right to act. And our decision is based on that alone. To do anything else resembles actions of law enforcement, which they are not qualified, nor do they have a right to do. Because at the end of the day, if you are Deshaun Watson or these women, and the NFL does anything against one side or the other, you have a right to zero in on the NFL and say, "Who the hell do you think you are?" All the NFL has to do is say, "This is our league."
Let me just say one thing, because I producer counting me down each second. Just the optics of the simple fact that there's now 24 women, and then during this time period, when this isn't settled, you decided to make him the highest paid player ever.
That's so about Cleveland.
That's okay.
That's about Cleveland.
Well, it was greenlit.
It's the NFL.
So I'm just saying, when we have like this heinous behavior, this going on, and we don't have a clear picture yet, then you go and reward somebody. And you incentivize their contract that even if there is punishment in the first year, they still get all their guaranteed money. So just think of that from an optics standpoint.
Listen. They can't offer him anything if the NFL says no one can offer him anything. The Cleveland Browns are concerned about the other 31 teams.
Yeah.
That's what they're concerned
about. Okay, so
the NFL's job to say, none of you get to offer him that. We're making this decision. The NFL won't do it. All of these people that are pointing the finger at the Cleveland Browns, if it wasn't them, it was going to be another team. Their attitude is, hell, at the end of the day, y'all going to be killing us because we lose in football games. Our job is to be better than the other 31 teams in the NFL. If the NFL wants to allow us to sign Deshaun Watson, then guess what? One of us is going to do it. It's the NFL's job to step in and long time ago and make whatever decision and leave it at that. They have not done that.
But Watson also might want to find a new lawyer, because that lawyer just put his foot in his mouth on a radio station. That was one of the dumbest statements I've heard.
Yeah.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.